News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Here we be starting hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And our topic today is about official U.S. Army scouts who are actually Apache Indians.
One of the last battles for Apaches. Following the surrender of Geronimo, the military's need for Indian scouts diminished until Pancho Villa's raid on Columbus, New Mexico in 1916. Arriving in El Paso by train from Georgia, Major Robert L. Howes and the 11th Cavalry Regiment were assigned a detachment of 20 Apache scouts to help search for Pancho Villa. The Apache scouts were not trained or drilled to maneuver as the soldiers of the Army. Their operations were in accordance with the Apaches' natural habits of scouting and fighting. Leaving El Paso and marching south, the cavalrymen approached Ojos Azules, Mexico, just after daybreak. But V.E.'s guards detected the advance of Howe's Apache scouts and alerted the bandit main body. Howe's ordered a mounted charge, killing 61 bandits and dispersing the remainder into the hills with no American casualties. When the engagement ended, First Sergeant Chicken of the Apache scouts exclaimed, "Huli, damn good fight!" In 1947, Apache scouts were officially deactivated from the U.S. Army. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
What did that Indian say?
It's a damn good fight.
Damn good fight.
Captain Chicken. But you know, somebody asked
Chicken.
Me, yeah, yes. Captain Chicken. Well, there's some interesting names these gentlemen had. But one thing that was really interesting was somebody said, well, no, the Apaches wouldn't have gone against the Mexicans. I said, oh, yes, they would.
Well,
and they
were
asking me why. I said, because until 1920s or 1930s, I can't remember exactly, there was still a bounty out for Apache scalps in Mexico. So, obviously, there was no love loss.
No big deal there. Well, you do this for the History Alliance, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a Facebook page with more than 62,000 followers. And they have great historic pictures, historical information, historic preservation information. And the page is ministered by Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And then we have the premier Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When, managed by Barbara Given-Bainey. And this is a great Facebook page and is home to an amazing amount of historic pictures, stories, and so much more.
Good old BGB herself is the chief bottle washer. Ken Sutherland, new guy there. Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie, Ken Weiss, and Craig Hayes. Thank you guys.
You do a great job.
Y'all for doing what you do here. John Hamilton, do you have much information on Apache Scouts? I mean, they sort of did their own thing. They didn't do training well with the other guys.
Yeah, they were organized as scouts. They were not exactly able to drill as soldiers, but they did. They had their own uniforms, their own the Indian scouts for the Army had their own uniforms, their own insignia. In fact, Special Forces today wears the crossed arrows, which was the insignia for the Indian Scouts. So that still exists in the Army today, that insignia, that heritage.
That was a big deal back then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But they were very effective. In fact, Geronimo was actually run to ground by Chiricahua Scouts from his own tribe who essentially knew where he'd be and knew what he'd be doing. And the tragedy was that General Nelson Miles, once he had captured Geronimo and his band and was ready to put him on trains for Florida, he turned to his Apache scouts who'd helped capture him and said, okay, you guys, drop your weapons. You get on the train, too.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no, yeah. There was a lot of that with a lot of the Kiowas had some same issues along the same way and some of the others. It's really, really a shame.
Yeah. Pretty ugly.
Didn't keep a lot of word back then.
No.
You got to wonder
why. I don't know that Miles ever even gave his word not to do that.
And yet, it's interesting because the Native Americans are very strong in our military to this day.
Oh, very much.
And have fought valiantly for this country in spite of things that have happened in the past.
Well, the Code Talkers in World War II.
That was a huge event in
Japanese theater.
Then also the scouts, too. A lot of the Native scouts, they carried some of those traditions to the military that you didn't look at them as being like they did in the Old West, but they used those scouting abilities when they were fighting the wars.
Yep.
All right, you want to move on to another fort now? Are you ready for another fort?
I want to talk about Fort Stanton. Did you want to talk about, want to go to Fort Stanton?
Well, we
up
had
in the hills?
an off-air question about Fort Selden. Are we going to get to any of that?
We're not going to get to Selden today, but Selden is interesting, too.
Let me just brush on that a bit.
Among other things, Selden was the home of a young 7-year-old by the name of Douglas MacArthur, who said in his memoirs that that's where he learned to ride and shoot and didn't really learn to read and write before he rode and shot.
That's just north of Las Cruces.
It's at Radium Springs, Major Post. And it's interesting, too, because it was, of course, there to protect locals from the Indians. But for a while, when they were considering closing the Fort Bliss at Hart's Mill and then moving the post, one of the posts in the running for moving that post was Fort Selden.
That's actually where the Camino Real takes off from the river.
Yes.
And goes up into the Jornada del Muerto. So once you you're coming down south, you hit Fort Selden, basically.
Right.
That's where the river is, and you just take that all the way down to El Paso.
There are some ruins that are still there. There is a small museum there. It's worth a visit.
It's
really interesting.
It's neat.
Place.
All right, keep glancing off and go to
But we'll
Stanton.
Talk about Fort Stanton up in the hills. It was established in 1855.
We have a map of that, I believe.
On the Rio Bonito, which was a mountain stream. It was named for a Captain Henry Stanton, who was with the 1st Dragoons. He was a West Point graduate. He was killed in a skirmish with Mescalero Apaches in February of 1855.
Is this up near the airport, Ruidoso Airport somewhere?
I've been up there. It's pretty close. It's not very far. The original post was pretty small. It was two adobe blockhouses. It had an adobe wall around it, and it was notable because it was so isolated up there in the hills. It was really established to control and oversee the Mescalero Apache tribe, and was the Indian agency headquarters for that until 1861, Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
This was the post that Major Lind and his gang from Fort Fillmore was trying to get to in 1861. And the Mescaleros were always a problem, but Fort Stanton was abandoned. The Confederates were there for a short while, but they abandoned the post. Particularly when the Sibley expedition came through and they moved up into New Mexico.
Can you find any reason why the Mescaleros were allowed to keep their mountain and turn it into a ski run and into a big resort? Because most Indians, like the ones you mentioned earlier, get on the train now that you've captured people for us, drop your weapons. How come they didn't do that to the Mescaleros?
Well, that's sort of interesting because the Mescaleros, along with the Navajos, were rounded up by Colonel Kit Carson, Christopher Carson, in 1862, 1863, and they were all moved to the Bosque Redondo,
which is
over on the Pecos River, and it was who was it? It was James Henry Carleton, the commanding general of the Union volunteers from the California Column, who essentially put them there to basically make them into farmers and change their lives and integrate them more into
the
white
Mescaleros.
They
moved them off of their current.
First of all, the Mescaleros and the Navajos did not like each other at all.
Navajos didn't get along with a lot of people.
And then one bright morning, it emerged that the Mescaleros had simply pulled up sticks and gone back up into the mountains.
We're gone.
So the Mescaleros went back in. They established their reservation there. And later on, they had the casino, the resort, all this stuff, and more power to them. But
No, I mean, yeah, but back in the day when the white men were kicking the Indians off of the property, how did they get – you said they just snuck back in and stayed there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
I think it would have been a lot of hassle
trying
to get them out of there, yeah.
Yeah, during the Civil War, there were other things that were sort of drawing attention elsewhere, so they really didn't make an effort to run them off of there. The Mescaleros were part of the problem. They joined forces with an Indian chief of the Mimbres Apaches called Victorio in 1879-1880.
Yeah. Ah, yes.
And during the Victorio War, Fort Stanton played a part. There were four companies of the 9th Cavalry there under Captain Henry Carroll. Of course, Victorio went on the warpath because he would not move to the San Carlos Reservation out in Arizona, which is an awful place, just terrible. And if you've ever been up to the area where Victorio and Ojo Caliente, where he and his tribe lived, that's a pretty nice place.
You know, Warm Springs.
Yeah, Warm Springs, Apaches.
Oh, my
Black
God,
River,
yeah.
Black River up there,
yes.
Yeah.
So Victorio essentially just went out and started raiding settlements and farms and ranches and just went on the warpath.
There really is a warm spring up there, by the way.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it, yes.
I've been up it.
But it's been years since I've been
but
there.
But it just kind of a big hole in the ground, all of a sudden this hot water comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, and it flows down a canyon and turns into neat stuff.
Yes. So at one point, Victorio and his band were determined to be at Hembrio Canyon, which is on White Sands, as you probably know.
Victorio's peak is there.
That's right. And the commander of the 9th Cavalry, Colonel Edward Hatch, essentially assembled all of the 9th Cavalry troops he could and decided to converge on Hembrio Canyon and catch them. Henry Carroll's troops left Stanton, crossed the White Sands, and arrived at the canyon before any of the other troops coming from the west did. He attempted to attack and subdue Victorio, and himself was essentially surrounded by an inferior force.
Right.
With repeating rifles, though. They did have some.
And they had the high ground. The Indians had the high ground.
And the Indians had the high ground. So Carroll gets wounded. A lot of his troopers get wounded. They can't get to water until the rest of the troopers show up, the 9th Cavalry, some of the 6th Cavalry from Arizona, and some White Mountain Apache scouts, I think, were with them. And Victorio eludes them and moves south and crosses the border into Mexico.
And he had women and children with him.
Yeah.
And the whole
tribe.
Everybody.
Yeah.
These
well,
were hard people.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And so Victorio's Peak has a story for another day, but that turned out to be a supposed treasure location.
Oh, my. Yes, we could go down that road.
And whether the Indians knew about the treasure or not, who knows. But keep going to we got to go to Fort Stanton.
But I could say, let's say some more about Fort Stanton. The year before at Fort Stanton, we know now you've heard of the Lincoln County War. Lincoln County War was a dispute between two factions who essentially wanted to run the economy, run cattle, own the land, supply cattle to the army. So you had the Murphy-Dolan faction, or gang, as they were called, in 1878. And you had the Tunstall-McSween faction, which were sort of the newcomers in 1878. And this is when they brought in gunfighters, one of whom was named Henry Antrim, alias William Bonney, alias Billy the Kid.
BTK.
And things really came to a head in 1878 when they were essentially pretty much going to fight in the streets of the town of Lincoln.
Yeah.
The commander at Fort Stanton then was a gentleman by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Nathan August Monroe Dudley.
Oh.
Now, Colonel Dudley had been a Civil War vet, was a Civil War vet, and he had people that he had fought with. His career in the Civil War was relatively undistinguished, but he was a bit of a martinet. When you see a picture of him, you realize, okay, yeah, the lights are on, but maybe nobody's home. he was very self-assured. He was a drinker. And he'd been in trouble before for the Army. And he'd always managed to get out from under it because he had powerful friends in Washington in the Congress who fought with him in the Civil War and were his drinking buddies, essentially.
They took care of him. Oh, yeah.
So in 1878, the Congress passed something called the Posse Comitatus Act, which essentially specifically said the Army could not intervene in a civil dispute or a civil law enforcement issue unless the president said okay and declared martial law.
Yeah.
So the Army issued a general order that prohibited this, and the local sheriff of Lincoln County went to Colonel Dudley and said, I really need some troops. We need to run these people out of town in Lincoln. And Colonel Dudley went to Colonel Hatch, his commander in Santa Fe, and said, I want to do this. You know, I owe it to these people. They are my friends. And Colonel Hatch said, no, you can't do this. Whereupon Colonel Dudley said to himself, I'm just going to do it. So he dressed up his troops in the finest uniforms. He brought in a Gatling gun with several thousand rounds of ammunition and a 12-pounder mountain howitzer went into the town. And
let's talk.
Positioned around the town, aimed the gun at different places, managed to get the justice of the peace, bulldozed him into issuing warrants for the arrest of Tunstall and McSween and the kid. And ultimately, in this fracas, the house and the store of McSween was set afire. And when he tried to escape, he was shot down in the street and was late and was dead. And that sort of brought some real opprobrium against the Army, who was involved in this mess.
And was told not to.
So.
And then did their own thing.
So Colonel Dudley got a court of inquiry from the Army, and he had to, he was tried in Mesilla. For intervening in this. He was acquitted in Mesilla. He got out from under his court of inquiry, but the territorial governor, a gentleman by the name of Lew Wallace,
Ben-Hur,
said, I don't think you want to keep him there in command at Fort Stanton, so move him. So the Army moved him to command Fort Cummings, which is out near Deming.
That's not the end of the story. Is that the end of the story?
That's pretty much the end of that story.
In that case, we got to take a break.
We'll take a break.
I was waiting to get to the end of the story here.
I think we end up at Deming, that fort at Deming. That was pretty much the middle of it.
There's a lot going on around in the Old West days. Interesting stuff.
It was not the end of the world, but you could see it from there.
Yeah.
It's next door. All right, taking a break here, coming back in a minute. Talking more about the fort history around the El Paso area. A lot of it there. And you got some more Facebook things to talk about?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions for the doctor afterwards.
The doctor, we promoted him.
We're Dr. Hamilton.
Doctor of Military Science.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on the radio.
On the radio, you
do. You stayed at a Holiday Inn.
With all that going on, let's be back in a moment. Andrew, hit the button.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549. El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text LIST to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text LIST to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text LIST to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals.
You know, in the folded flag, we see more than 1 million dependents of fallen or disabled U.S. service members, over 90% of which don't qualify for educational assistance. Folds of Honor's mission is to provide academic scholarships to spouses and children of military members who have either been severely disabled or killed because freedom isn't free. Folds of Honor's mission will never be complete. This Memorial Day weekend, you can honor their sacrifice by educating their legacy. Join the squadron at foldsofhonor.org.
Do you want to invest in cash-flowing real estate without all of the hassles? Introducing PassiveInvesting.com, a national private equity real estate firm with over $380 million under management. We have an offering available to invest right now in an institutional-level, newly built apartment community in Orlando, Florida. Only available to independently verified accredited investors. Visit PassiveInvesting.com for details on how you can invest today. That's PassiveInvesting.com.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got to let you know who's coming here next week. We got Bernie Sargent back. We started something in early April where we had all this ambitious plan to talk about all these things we had lined up.
It's going to be another 100 years.
Well, we got to about half of them, so we're going to go start that up again. Next week we're going to start with El Paso and move forward from there, see what happens. June the 12th, have you been to War Eagles Air Museum lately? We're going to hear about the museum's history and how it started out as a collection of vintage airplanes in a private collection. Mike Eck will be part of our guest. He's the new executive director. Harry Herbert von Fielitsch himself, June 19th, will be here. He's going to talk about spy stories from the Mexican Revolution. He found a bunch of National Archive documents showing the money trail from Germany to Pancho Villa and other Mexican revolutionaries. An actual money trail, John. What do you think of that?
Wow.
They found it, and it was in a briefcase that just got stuck away in the National Archives. So this guy goes in and finds it, digs through it, and finds the checks where they're paying a guy to pay Pancho Villa to do German bidding. Whoa. Anyway, that's coming up there.
I see that.
And Florian Weidel will be there with him, another military historian. June the 26th, what's going on in space these days? Our guest will be Chris Orwall. He's director of New Mexico Museum of Space History. Talk about his museum and also what all the things going on in the space world here. So what do you got? You got
lots of stuff going on out there. Okay, well, speaking of, you know, we're talking about Fort Bliss in a sense. The Frontera Land Alliance and the Franklin Mountains Wilderness Coalition and the El Paso Community Foundation are working to get the picturesque 7,080-acre Kastner Range dedicated as a national monument. But they need your help, and they'd like you to visit KastnerForever.org and sign a letter of support. And do consider to donate to the Kastner Range. It's been there forever. Let's keep it there forever. So
it's been there since 1926.
Yep.
26.
It was earlier than that. So
it went through the 40s.
There wasn't much flying then.
General Joseph Kastner was the commander of Fort Bliss in 1926.
Oh, so there's actually somebody who actually was here.
Yes.
Who was named after.
He was commander of the 1st Cavalry Division. He needed the space for a really no kidding range.
Yeah.
So they managed to acquire that land from its owners and constructed ranges there. And they've shot everything out there. And to be sure, is there still some unexploded ordnance out there? Yep.
I can imagine in the side of the mountains.
Yes, yes, there would be.
Oh, yes.
Well, they're going to have an issue there putting that into the park system, but we'll see how that turns out.
Just watch where you step.
Oh, and don't even think about it. Got a caller.
Fingers in your ears.
Got a caller here for you, John Hamilton. Got a caller named Alan. Alan, you got some questions for John? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. The first question is, when did the cavalry change over from battalions and companies to squadrons and troops? And the second question is the museum open, the Army, one of the post museum and Times? And the other is a statement about Kit Carson. The first battle of Adobe Walls, I think it was in 1862, something like that. He had two 12-pound mountain howitzers, saved his butt from the Comanches. And the Comanches called it the gun that shoots twice because the gun would go off and either the spherical case shot or the shrapnel shell would go off.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
So when did they change over the squads?
Oh, that's a very good question. In the 1870s, you start reading the interchangeable names. They refer to squadrons and troops, and they refer to companies and battalions. And really what I've seen is about 1884, 1885 is when they really make the change. And they refer strictly to cavalry units as troops and squadrons. From then on.
Alan, your other question?
The other question was the Times at the museum on post. Is it open?
Good
question. Going to be open? What's the deal with that?
It is open. They are open Wednesday through Saturday from, I think, 9 until 4:30. Getting on post can be a challenge. If you've got some kind of an ID card, then you can get in.
I'm a retired military, sir.
Yeah, well, then you're straight. But, yes, it is open. They are getting ready. They have just replaced the roof. They are getting ready to redo the exhibits, and that will happen probably starting next year.
Great.
They got the money for it.
One quick question on the exhibits.
Sure.
Are you going to increase the amount of SMARMs you display?
Yes. Yes. When I was the director there, I put in a request for the arms that were essentially ours, and it was approved, but they've held off shipping the arms. They're going to be getting those weapons pretty soon now, I think. They may have gotten them last week. They just got a Bradley fighting vehicle from Yuma, which is in great shape. And so, yes, the small arms that were ours that were shipped to Anniston, Alabama, are coming back. A lot of them, not all of them. I mean,
I know that's a depository. It used to be Pueblo Depot, but it's a depository for historical stuff for the Army. I know that.
Yes, there is a historical storage area there. Yes, yes, sir.
Alan, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, have a good day. Thank you, gentlemen.
You take her easy. And I think you answered this question, came in by phone just in the middle of that. Who was Kasner named for? And you said it was a commander in 1926.
Brigadier General Joseph Kasner. He was the commander of the 1st Cavalry Division in 1926. They needed the range space, and that range was named for him.
There he is, Kasner Range. All right. Taking a break here, coming back and doing a lot more history. We haven't gotten to one fort here yet, maybe two.
Yeah, we have some questions from the Facebook pages here, too. We'll have to follow up.
We'll get to those.
Okay, we'll get to those.
Coming back in a minute, call us if you need to. The number would be
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
From the Stone Age to the Digital Age, people have been having weird, wonderful, and downright absurd relationships. Fall in Love with Ridiculous Romance, the podcast where real-life spouses Diana and Eli talk about the wildest and most interesting romantic partners in history.
One episode of The Dating Game was with serial killer Rodney Alcala.
He was like, here's a dozen red flags.
Thank you for these dozen red flags.
Listen to Ridiculous Romance on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-815-4342. That's 800-815-4342. 800-815-4342.
Guys, you know that new Untuckit shirt you've been eyeing? Well, you can save 25% on everything in stores and online with Untuckit's annual Memorial Day event going on now. Untuckit shirts are made to be worn untucked, so you can feel comfortable and look sharp all day. They're the only styles you need this summer. Untuckit's Memorial Day sale is the time to save on bestsellers like wrinkle-resistant linen and cool short-sleeve styles to help beat the heat. Just visit Untuckit.com or any of Untuckit's 80-plus stores to save 25%. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready for This Week Only in El Paso, Inc.?
Yes,
no, you're not.
Yes,
oh,
I am.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Aha, fooled you. Why business leaders in El Paso and across Texas are stepping up their push to protect dreamers.
Also in the Inc., the Medical Center of the Americas is readying plans for the next step in its expansion in South Central El Paso.
The CEO of one of El Paso's largest hospitals looks back on our two decades in the Sun City as she trades El Paso's prickly pears for Tucson's sahuaros.
And El Paso's business journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m., host Saul Sines talks about the Texas legislative session as it winds down. What important legislation was passed by our state lawmakers? And laws that will affect all Texans for years to come. Once signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott, new laws from abortion, elections, guns, police reform, they'll all become laws in Texas. One of the most controversial was legislation aimed at gun ownership.
Saul's guests are joining the discussion from Austin. They are State Senator Cesar Blanco and Representative Mary Gonzalez. This Sunday night at 10:35 p.m., join host Saul Sines on ABC 7 Extra.
A lot going on there.
Oh, that's craziness. Yeah.
John Hamilton, you got a lot to talk about here in the way of military. And you had some questions, Melissa, that came up on
yes,
the...
Yes, come up.
Yes. First of all, we want to point out that John is not a doctor or a professor, but we will... We'll call him anything. He's easy. Because we've had a lot of people.
Some things you can't print.
They're really enjoying the show. But I did have, there was a question on Old Fort Quitman's Cemetery. And do you know anything about that? And then also Fort Bayard. I think I pretty much got that answered, as long as another one was about the old Fort Bliss buildings down here on Paisano, which are in sale right now. So
I haven't been there for years. Yeah. When I was there, we found the cemetery. You can't find the post. It's pretty much melted into
It's adobe
terrain.
Dissolved.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's gone. But the cemetery was used for a number of years after the post pretty much closed up.
The locals.
And the locals buried people there. So, yes, it's there.
How far is it from where the original post might have been?
It's not far. It's less than a mile. It's up the hill from the post, as I recall, and it's near to the highway. Well, the highway, the road that's there.
The road, yeah.
Yes.
You got any more?
Let's see. Answered another question. No, just everybody really enjoys your information. We had one person asked about following you on social media, but you don't have a Facebook page. So
he's smarter than that.
He's not socialized.
Not yet.
We do have a caller coming in here, however. His name is Ralph. Ralph, we got you on the radio. What's up? What's up, Ralph?
Hi, how you guys doing? Great great history show. I really appreciate this show. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, we were talking about military and military equipment, and when we go up to Cattleman's to have ourselves a little steak there, there's some cannons that are sitting inside like a little mini museum there. Can you elaborate on those cannons? Do you know anything about them?
I don't know.
I saw them.
Talking about, yeah.
I've seen them, and they're in incredibly good condition. It's like they were never used. I don't know what those are.
Whether they're replicas or what.
They have all kinds of...
I'll look at them.
Ralph, describe what you saw there, Ralph.
Are these...
Well, there's it's a glass type of chamber.
Right.
And then inside the chamber, there are two... cannons that, you know, of course they were pulled by, you know, by horses, large wheels on them, spoke wheels, and you can actually see the cannon or the bullets that go into that machine. And I was just wondering if you knew anything about that.
You know, I wonder if any of those were perhaps props left by movies that were made
that
out in that
been.
Area. Just happened to
yeah.
think about
you know, they
that.
They got all kinds of military equipment strewn across the desert out there from various movies that they made. There's a helicopter pops up out of nowhere somewhere. But this stuff's in pretty good shape. I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If somebody knows that, give us a call at 544-5876. What are those items? Well, Ralph, you start us up on that. We'll see what happens. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Same to you.
Take care. Thank you.
See you, Ralph.
You never can tell what's going on. I mean, see, there should be a military museum in the El Paso area.
Yeah. Oh,
well, there is on Fort Bliss.
But, I mean, shouldn't there be a civilian military museum?
I would say it would be good if we could figure out how we could get the museum on Fort Bliss open so that you don't have to come on the post.
Yeah, that would be great.
It's a challenge, the way
mm-hmm.
it's set up. The National Museum of the United States Army on Fort Belvoir, you don't have to come on Fort Belvoir, Virginia, to visit that
yeah.
museum.
Well, it's like you were talking about the cannons there. You got the cannon at East Lake. That's the Blue
yeah.
Whistler,
yeah.
which
yeah.
traded
Bernie's
hands
favorite.
Both
yeah.
Yeah, Union and Kathy. Yeah, Bernie wrote
Bernie
the book on it.
Bernie loves that
one. And,
yes.
You know, it's amazing. Its story is amazing, too, how far back it goes.
All right, Fort Davis. Here we go.
Fort Davis established 1854. They moved troops up from downriver. A place called Fort Ringgold. It was troops of the 8th Infantry Regiment that came in. This was part of a line of forts, including Camp Hudson on the Devil's River region, Fort Lancaster in Crockett County, Fort Stockton, Fort Quitman, and, of course, Fort Bliss. The road to the post from the east was surveyed by Lieutenant Colonel Joseph E. Johnston. You probably recognize the name. He was a Confederate officer and a full general in the Civil War.
Oh.
In fact, just as an aside, many officers that were in Texas and New Mexico resigned their commissions, came through Fort Bliss, Fort Davis, and joined the Confederacy and ended up as general officers in the Civil
War. Going that direction.
You know, that happened. And Lydia Lane Spencer, who wrote I Married a Soldier, she was just absolutely insulted that these men would do this. These were her friends.
Oh, my.
And they were traitors to do this. But anyway, getting back to Fort Davis, it was built on a site that was originally called Painted Comanche Camp. It was astride known Indian trails, the Mescalero Trail, the Great Comanche War Trail. The intent was to establish this post to protect people that were going to the gold fields.
So it was on the route.
Right on the route.
All right, let me put you...
Go ahead.
Put you on hold for a minute, because
yep.
we have a caller who wants to talk about cannons. Cannons. Albert, what's up with the cannons?
Hey, Jackson, Albert.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
The cannons that
at Cattlemen's. They're from World War One.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I just looked that up. It's the 3rd Garrison Model 1902. It was built Rock Island Arsenal, built in 1909.
They're in pretty good shape out there. Yeah. Those weren't used very much, were they? Albert?
Sorry?
You couldn't. They looked like they were brand new to me.
Well, they might, but I read the sign there, and it says World War One.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that. Appreciate it.
I'm looking at the pictures right now.
You take her easy. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Well, you ask a question, you get an answer. Yeah. And Albert's one of those gang of shady people, isn't he?
Six guns of shady ladies.
Yeah. He's one of those.
Well, he's a historian. Right. He's a U.S. history professor at the community college.
Yes.
Back to Fort Davis. We stopped in mid-something.
The stage lines came through there. Really nice place. The original post was built back up into the canyon. That post was abandoned in 1861 when it was turned over to the Confederacy. And Confederacy stayed there, but they didn't have that many troops there. Mounted troops moved through there. The Sibley Expedition came through there in 1862. When the Confederates abandoned the post in 1862, when they withdrew back to San Antonio after the failed Sibley Expedition, the Indians came in and wrecked the place.
Oh.
Pretty much. And it wasn't really until 1867 when federal troops under Lieutenant Colonel Wesley Merritt returned to the fort that was in ruins, and Merritt essentially rebuilt the fort pretty much out on the plain.
Well, it's pretty good now, isn't it? I mean, it's Texas State Park.
This was it's a National Historic Site, too.
Yeah.
This is a big place. This was set up to house over 1,000 troops.
Wow.
They wanted infantry and cavalry there, and there was there. This was the time when Fort Bliss was still a pretty small post. Still at McGoffinsville until 1868, and then Camp Concordia.
So it was
a bigger post, and it was right in the heart of an area where the Indians moved around. It played a big part in the Victoria War. Colonel Grierson, Benjamin Grierson, commanded the 10th Cavalry. Instead of pursuing the Indians, he put penny packets of soldiers around the area on all the watering holes. And by doing that, when Victorio crossed in the Rio Grande and came back in from Mexico, he was able to confront him at several places, and they fought him off at Tinaja de las Palmas, which is south of Sierra Blanca, and they essentially fought him off at Rattlesnake Springs and the Sierra Diablo, and ran him back into Mexico, where he was pretty much wiped out by the Mexican authorities.
He had a tough deal.
It was a tough deal.
Would you think there should be a movie made about a guy like him?
I think a movie would be very interesting. Yes.
It would be
a very timely movie, too.
Now, Victorio had a sister who was a warrior.
Lozen. Yes.
She was taking no prisoners.
She was hard as woodpecker lips.
I think she was harder than he was.
Yes. Hard as what?
Woodpecker lips.
I thought that's what you might have said. I was hoping you might have said that.
I have woodpeckers at my house.
But the thing is, she was a tough chica, and she was in the battles with him.
Yes. She fought right alongside him and was a warrior.
And there have been movies or TV shows done about her.
Yes.
Well, they've done about Victoria also.
The movie. I mean, come on.
Do the real concise story on
the big deal movie.
Yeah, unfortunately, it would be inflicted with Hollywood. So,
it would be infected.
But there are some good movies that have been made about the Indian Wars pretty recently. Yeah. So.
Ken Burns style movies are great. Those are wonderful.
We're going to ask Maria to hold. We got to call her on hold. We got to take one more break, right, Andrew? One more break here and come back in a minute. We'll talk to Maria about something she wants to talk about for equipment. All right, back in just a moment.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
If you're a local business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson runs a small business in El Paso, too. And Ralph Dickerson's here to help you protect your small business. Give him a call, 915-581-0000. Or come by his office, located at 497 North Wrestler, Suite A, right at the corner of Wrestler and Orizaba. Stop in today. Call 581-0000 for State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson.
Catch the latest episode of Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone, a new podcast hosted by James Golden, known better as Bo Snerdly, that takes you behind the scenes for a look at the man who changed America as we know it on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts, presented by MyPillow.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-399-5446.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations like topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Just to let you know, they do have another story out on Channel 9, the Borderland Treasures, Paso's architecture. They've got them on video now, and the topic on the most recent is Maybell Welch, the first licensed woman architect in El Paso and only the second in Texas. So you want to see that segment, KTSM.com. Go there. What do you got, Melissa?
I have nothing. All right. I would just go back to John. We only have a few minutes left.
Well, no, we got callers here. We're going to talk to Dr. Maria.
Yeah,
we got Maria. We got to talk to you, Maria. You live in the cemetery?
No, not in the cemetery, but about half a mile from it.
Oh, very good.
Are you talking about Fort Quitman?
Not yet, anyway.
Fort Quitman Cemetery.
Yes, yes, on FM 192.
Well, you're out in the middle of nowhere, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, tell us about that.
We go there once in a while just to visit and look and just inspect it, I guess. Nobody maintains it. There's grave sites there from the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s, I think. The most recent one is about the 70s or 80s. Mm-hmm. But people still go visit their ancestors there.
And you don't have any Indian raids, do you?
No.
Okay, so the soldiers not being is okay with you. Okay, fair enough. All right, well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. We found a book. We bought a house right there, and we found a book with a lot of history. So I don't know if somebody would be interested in looking at it. I'd be glad to share it with somebody.
Absolutely. Let me put you on.
Vittorio.
Let's put you on.
The Historical Society.
We'll put you on hold, and we'll get your phone number and see what we can do about your book, okay?
Sure.
All right. Thank you for
thank
calling.
You for
hold,
calling.
Don't hang up. Hold on.
Thanks for listening.
Hold on. Another announcement coming from Patricia. Hey, Patricia.
Hey there, everyone. I just wanted to invite the public to come look at Concordia Cemetery this week. And the flags are up at all the individual veterans' graves. And we have our canopy up for our event on Monday. So we're really excited to be able to honor our veterans who are buried in Concordia. And it's just a really great feeling to see all that.
Thank you for being so concerned and taking care of our history. You're a good caretaker. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I would also love to peek into that book because I'm very interested in I've been to the Fort Quitman Cemetery, and I'm also interested in trying to get a historical marker for Fort Hancock and Old Camp Rice.
All right. Yeah. Andrew is taking the lady's phone number. We'll see what we can do about it.
Excellent. And I won't be at lunch, but see you next week, okay?
Okay, see you next week.
Okay, we're going to go to lunch without you. We're going to eat your food.
And you're going to talk about me.
We will.
Of course we will.
Okay. Patricia, thanks a lot. You take care. Appreciate it. Well, that book should be interesting. Andrew, you got the contact info? John Hamilton, we're about out of time here. We usually do this. We run out of time. Because there's so much to talk about when it comes to military history. About every four or five months now, we've asked you to come back. Come back again and bring some more stuff.
Sure.
But the stuff about where were we? We just at Fort Davis. Fort Davis is a fabulous place.
Oh, yes.
And it's open as a state park.
Yes. They recently reopened the hospital.
Did they?
Yes. So it's supposedly restored to some degree, and it was kind of interesting. We took a trip. Some of the pictures show a trip that I took with some of the air defenders down there. We took they took their physician's assistant with them, and he gave a little briefing on medicine in the 1800s. And he said, "I want to show you one of the tools that they used." And he had his little backpack, and he pulled out a saw.
Mm.
Ah, yes, a saw for the surgeon.
Yes,
multi-purpose
tool. Yes, indeed. Yes. Lot to do there.
If anybody has a chance to go down, that is an amazing. I'm going to be there in July, and it is an amazing display down there. It gives you a real feeling of what it was like to live in the West back then.
Interesting stuff. John Hamilton, thanks again for coming and talking about the history of El Paso, including the forts as they are. And we will get to – there's a lot more forts to talk about.
Oh, yes.
And we didn't really do La Noria Mesa, that fort. But that's the fort known as Bliss.
That's right.
We know all about that.
Yes.
And I always smile at John when I say that because his email has got the word La Noria Mesa in it.
Yes.
So there. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you, can they email you?
Well, yeah, I guess they can.
You do have a book. You're an author.
I've got a book and it's an author, yes. So, if somebody wants to get a hold of me, I hesitate to give out my email because I
call us and we'll find them for you.
Could they reach you through the museum?
Yes.
Okay, I'll put the museum number up.
Sure. Right.
John, thanks again for being here.
My
Melissa,
pleasure.
Next week we'll do this again.
Yes, we will.
Andrew J. Polk, see you Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Talk El Paso. Everybody else, see you next week right here on the El Paso History Radio Show.
Bye.
Thanks.
Adios.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.